The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Coming back like Return of the Jedi. Sucker MCs in the place that said I could only rock rhyme and only rock crowds, but never rock records.
How you like me now? How you like me now?
Exactly right. That's the question of the day, folks.
How you like me now?
Kurt just wants to know. 42 points on the Green Bay Packers. Making Aaron Rodgers look like Kirk Cousins and Kirk Cousins looking like Aaron Rodgers. On Sunday Night Football. Kevin, how you like me now? Welcome to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. 42-24, Redskins beat the Packers.
Isn't it amazing that when in success, Kurt will channel the spirit of a 1987 rapper?
But here's what's so funny. Kurt seems to be this guy who's not controlled by his emotions normally.
Right.
And then you get these outbursts, you know, that seemingly he's just uncontrolled, like the, you like that? Remember that one?
What was
that?
Exactly.
It's like he channels that in these moments of rare excitement exhibited externally from him. Like, he normally doesn't do that. Like, there wasn't that the Tampa Bay game where they came back that last minute drive,
right,
and he's storming off, you like that?
Yeah.
And he's doing all that stuff, and then all last year everyone's got the sign, you like that, you like that. And now it's, yeah, how you like me now?
You know, it was funny because for so often we wanted Kirk to give us more of that. We figured if he would give that to the guys in the huddle, that would excite them a little more and maybe get them to go beyond.
For the excitement coach, right?
That's
the passion
coach. That's right.
Remember?
We wanted the chick who dove across the line in the Olympics. Apparently we got through it. She got word to Kirk, and now we got how you like me now,
yeah.
Right? You
know? Very odd, because I did not see that, didn't hear about it till this morning, and I'm like, he seems like you're trying to figure. I'm wondering, like, is this just excitement? Is he trying to send a message? Is there a little bit of bitterness and anger there that he's showing the management? And it was very, very odd, but very funny. Very funny. And so everyone's wondering how you like me now. The folks in Washington are loving the Skins now.
How you like me now?
Exactly.
You know, and look, just for the record now, if that had been Deshaun Jackson, they would have called security. All right, just want you all to know that. I had to get that out there.
Just want to make
that
clear.
Throwing that out there. Yeah, that is clear. Right.
Redskins improved to 6-3-1 on the season, 4-2 at home. Four straight wins at home after dropping the first two games of the season. The first one to Pittsburgh, second to Dallas. Speaking of Dallas, Dallas Cowboys against the Redskins. It's Dallas week. It's Thanksgiving, Turkey Day. Big win against Green Bay. Dallas also with a pretty big win. Kind of a grinded out win against Baltimore. So Dallas at 9-1, Skins at 6-3-1. And it's going to be an NFC East showdown on Thanksgiving. It's what we're accustomed to.
This
here, right?
Is the type of situation that the NFL loves. Ratings are just like handmade for a situation like this.
Absolutely.
Right? So the world is your stage, Kurt.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we're going to talk about that in the third segment of the show. Second segment of the show, I actually went to the game. I was there front and center. Great seats, by the way. Our great friends, the Floyds, have these season tickets. I guess they weren't going to go. It was too cold. And so one financial transaction later, my wife and I are sitting in those seats. And so we'll talk about that game. Talk about, just the stadium experience, man. And I mean, I've been to plenty of games. You've been to some games too, Kevin. And but it's always interesting. Each game kind of brings its own dynamic. And so we'll talk about that. I almost played security guard at one point, but we'll talk about that later on in the show.
So,
the Redskins beat the Green Bay Packers. And here's what's interesting about the game, Kevin, to me, is that the Redskins dominated the first half of this game. I mean, physically pushed around the Packers on defense. The Packers couldn't get anything going on offense in the first half. Yet the score was only 13-10. And I'm looking at half, and I'm feeling like the Redskins, it feels like they're up 21-6 or something like that.
Right.
Physically just dominating the Packers. The Packers couldn't get anything going on offense, and the Redskins seemed to have been able to get a few things going on offense, just a penalty here, an incomplete pass there, and then ended up having to punt. But the game felt like it was a lot. The deficit was further for the Packers, or larger for the Packers than it was at the half at 13-10. And you almost felt like, despite it being 13-10, there was never a point where you felt like the Redskins did not control this game.
Well, you know, the part that got me was we've been in this circumstance before. We talked about it last week. Mm-hmm. 14-0 isn't necessarily a comfortable lead for
especially
this team.
When it's
right?
early. Yeah,
yeah, when it's early,
in the game,
you got to take it all with a grain of salt. It was a couple of things, though. I usually watch the game broadcast with the sound down because, frankly, I don't like to hear what those guys have to say, right? I form my own opinion, right? Then tell the truth to you all. But I was listening to Chris Collinsworth last night, and I forget the name of the Packers guard, mm-hmm. but the starting Packers guard, number 67, whoever his name was, he was being owned by mm-hmm. Big Swaggy Chris
yeah,
Baker.
Yeah.
He was just being
owned.
He had a big game. He was
Chris
being destroyed.
Baker had a big game.
How often do you see a pro athlete get benched? And that's what happened. Right. The Packers had to bench their starting guard because he was just being owned. But still, all that, you know, taking all that into consideration, it wasn't a big lead.
No, it wasn't. And things got a little close in the second half until the Redskins, pulled away and made and got a sizable lead going into the fourth quarter or actually midway through the fourth quarter. And things just kind of got out of control. It was interesting because it was one of those things where when they needed to make plays, they made plays and they made big plays. I remember thinking in the beginning of the fourth quarter that, you know, what they want to do here is eat up clock. And you want to score on this drive. And the next thing you know, deep pass to Garcon, touchdown, quick strikes. And they came after play after play after play when they needed it, and the Packers just could not keep up. The Packers offense is struggling this season.
Now,
Aaron Rodgers is struggling this season.
Yeah, I know we're going to get into the stadium experience a little later, but one thing that they just beat into the ground last night was the wind at the stadium, and it was saying how it was important that you chose which side your offense had, you know, because you had to have the wind at your back and the field goal kickers. Mm-hmm. But the deep pass to Garcon was into
and,
the wind.
Yeah, and the one to Crowder, I believe. Yeah, the one to Crowder was
the
right
second
in the
one to Crowder,
yeah, was right in the wind as well. No,
yeah.
And it didn't affect it at all. But they were right about the field goals because as the teams were warming up, as the kickers were warming up with about 5 minutes left in halftime, they came out when they were on the side going against the wind. I mean, they were missing 32-yard field goals. I'm sitting there watching, and I'm watching these guys hook it, and I'm watching them leaving it wide right. And I'm like, whoa, this wind is really, really affecting them. And poor Dustin. I mean, I think right before, he just moved the guys up to the 20 and said, I got to make one just to feel good before halftime's over. And he moved up a little bit, nailed it, and said, okay, now let's go.
Now, one of the announcers, I'm not sure if it was Tirico who did the game last night or Collinsworth, made the statement, well, it's a stadium, but when the wind comes down in it, it doesn't leave. It just stays. And so, well, how is that physically possible? It has to go somewhere. I mean, the laws of physics, you can't, like, you just can't all occupy the same space.
You're
trying to leave some kind of way. That's another reason I don't listen to it. But yeah, yeah. But back to the game. There was a couple of camera angles that I saw last night that showed close-ups of Aaron Rodgers mm-hmm. while they were on the field, mm-hmm. and his eyes just weren't there. It wasn't, you know.
It's been a weird season for Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, it was something. You know, I'm not. Look, I'm glad they lost. I wish they lost like 72, but there was something not there with the Packers last night. Like I said, they benched the starting guard. Rodgers just wasn't there. Part of the defense, you got to contribute the defense to Jordy Nelson being shut out practically, right? Mm-hmm. That shouldn't have been a touchdown,
right,
by the way.
Right.
Shouldn't have been a touchdown. And you got to love the attitude of the Burgundy and Gold coming into this, right? They looked at the fact they were the only game in town, the national spotlight. Mm-hmm. Let's face it, Monday night football has declined in this country. I mean, that used to be the biggest show in town.
Right. It's not anymore.
It's not. Sunday night.
Sunday night's a big night, yeah, and the Redskins normally don't do well on primetime television.
No, not at all. And they probably got tired of hearing that, too.
Right. And tired of the fact of hearing how the Packers came in and won last year in the playoffs.
That made me mad.
And they came out and they played and everyone was prepared. Look, two things that stood out very well. Before the game, 5-3-1, and you feel good about that going into the second half of the season because the Redskins still haven't played their best game of the season yet. Last night was pretty much their best game of the year. I think that they played their best of the year despite the slow start I felt early in the game.
Mm-hmm.
And so now you're wondering, just like last year, because remember, Kirk Cousins wasn't necessarily lighting up the box score early in the season last year. It was late in the season when he got in a role. So now you're wondering, hey, is he getting in that late season role like he was last year? Is the team going to get on that late season role like they did last year and will off peel off a couple of these wins? You know, and so they won a couple in a row, or at least they haven't lost many in a row because of the tie, obviously.
Yeah, right.
And so now you're wondering, hey, are they about to hit their stride? And if you hit your stride now, it's a cliche, but it's true. This is when you want to hit your stride.
Oh yeah, yeah. You got to believe in yourself first of all, and that appears to be happening. And I see this team coming together, and despite. The attempts of others in the media, of course you won't hear that here because we just tell the truth in the Federal Football Report, attempts to just throw like the gossipy aspect of coverage of this team, like things about Deshaun Jackson. He misses a game. Oh, is it, you know, is he out of here, right?
Right.
You know, the man missed a game. Deshaun Jackson's like, what, like 5'8", a buck 50, right, you know, and plays professional football.
You're going to be dinged up a little bit.
How many of you are out there who haven't listened to anything in your life heavier than a jelly donut? How many of y'all can say that? And Deshaun goes across the middle, man, and played a great game last night. He doesn't have to catch the deep ball, but you know what? When he catches a 20-yard touchdown, it's just as effective as if he catches an 80-yard.
Right.
Jordan Reed actually blocking last night. You know, I said, wow, what is going on here?
Well, something else we talk about what's going on here. You know, right before the Pierre Garçon touchdown, I spoke over to my wife. I said, you know, Kurt hasn't really been targeting Pierre as much as, you know, Pierre would probably like him to. He's shown some of that frustration. We've seen the frustration. Very next play, he goes deep to Pierre for a touchdown. Pierre and Kurt kind of had a thing going on last night. 6 receptions for Pierre, 116 yards in that one touchdown. Many of those yards coming on that one touchdown. But, hey, who cares how you get them? You just got to get them, right?
Yeah. You know, and none of this was missed by a certain radio show co-host who picked up late last week, picked up both Rob Kelly and Pierre Garçon on his fantasy team.
And if you got Rob Kelly, you got a ton of points.
Yeah, 31, brother.
Good night. 24 carries, 137 yards, and 3 touchdowns.
31 points. Yes,
looks
sir,
like
yes,
the
sir.
Job is his to get. Yeah, he runs hard. You know what I mean? Like, he runs hard. You know, they talk about that falling forward stuff. He does all the falling forward. He's always going to try to grind out and get those yards. He doesn't run with his back turned towards the defense. And, I think that job is his. And Matt Jones, you know, you're going to be sitting on that bench.
Not a lot of this when he gets the ball.
None of that tap dance and stuff. He knows where he's going, and he's going to hit that hole.
2 yards is a success for him. If he's hit a yard in scrimmage, he said, I'm going to get something out of this.
Right.
And a lot of times, you notice how late they were blowing the whistle because he was still going.
And you saw that a lot early in the game. You know, yards didn't come easy for him early in the game, but that's part of that running attack with a back like that where you want to take your toll on the defensive line, and where once you get in the third quarter, in the fourth quarter, when you really need to break out a run, just like they did in the fourth quarter. I think it was like a short 3rd-and-1, or maybe it was one of the fourth downs that they went for, and Rob broke loose for one. Like, that's why those 3 yards, 4 yards that seem like they don't matter, or that they're not productive in the first quarter, that's why they mean so much. I mean, because you're beating the other team down, that defensive line, and sooner or later something's going to break. But you're only going to do that by hammering that ball and that running back, you know, delivering some licks himself and not doing all that tap dancing.
Yeah. Now, a friend of the show, Jamal, and I were discussing this before the show, and we have to start giving some credit to Sean McVay. Now, we always talk about how Kurt is maturing as a quarterback and how the young players mature. You know, we got to remember that McVay was 26 years old when he got this offensive coordinator job. And to stand out amongst the 26 coaches that they got, you know, there was a time when if you call a running play, you only got 2 yards, that was it for running for the rest of the game, right?
We're going to pass.
We're going to pass happy, but they're sticking with it. And like the running backs say, the more you run, the stronger you get, the more you get into the flow of the game, you see what's happening, and you can use that to your advantage. So credit to him for sticking with the run and allowing the game to come to the running back and not trying to force the pass-happy modern NFL offense down our throats.
Yeah, and understanding that that's the kind of team you are. I think this team is best when you can do a plausible play-action fake because you've been running the ball a good amount of time, and so the defense actually believes that you're going to run the ball.
So what's he doing? Just stick the ball out there. Let's tackle him, right? Yeah.
Exactly. By the way, Jamison Crowder, 3 catches, 102 yards, 1 touchdown, continues – to impress and be a great addition to this offense.
They showed a shot yesterday of Jamison Crowder and DeSean Jackson standing side by side. He's actually smaller than DeSean. How can these guys do that, man? It's amazing. Yeah. It's tough guys, man.
And you know,
tough guys.
It's funny you're talking about that because you know, you notice the small size. I mean, just being there, we had pretty good, really good seats. But being there, seeing the height and size difference with Chris Thompson too. This is a small guy. Right. I'm like, wow.
As compared to Ty Inseki, who was like, he's about 6'9". There was a great graphic last night.
They who is Maurice Harris?
Where did he come from? He was on a TV called And Catch Can Catch.
I saw him catch a ball and his hair flying everywhere. I'm like, who is that guy?
Why doesn't he play more often?
Well, anyway.
There was a great graphic last night that showed the offensive line that showed with Ty Inseki is about, I believe he's like 6'9", 360, just for average. You know, I'm off a half a degree here or there, right? And that's the average size of this offensive line. They went back and showed the Joe Gibbs Hogs. Jeff Bostic started at center weighing 245.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Right now you got wide receivers.
right. Who weigh that much? You look down in Carolina, you got quarterbacks.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, so,
that much.
You know, so before we start dogging people for getting hurt, you know, just let's be careful. Remember that you got guys just as big coming the other way trying to run into these guys.
Absolutely. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. The Washington Redskins improved to 6-3-1 after a 42-24 win over the Green Bay Packers. Coming up next on the Federal Football Report, we're going to do two things. Third segment, we're going to take a look ahead to the Cowboys matchup Thanksgiving Day. We'll take a look at the NFC East all around, but then we're going to focus in on that big game on Turkey Day. And then in the next segment coming up after this break, I want to talk about my FedEx Field experience. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.
How you like me now? How you like me now?
Federal News Radio's longest-running program sheds light on the complex world of an agency CIO. FederalNewsRadio.com. Search Ask the CIO.
And now back to Claude and Kevin and the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. You know, they aren't half bad for a couple of old guys.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, the blowout the Packers edition of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website's federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. This segment, I want to talk a little bit about going to the game, man. I got some tickets from a good friend of ours, the Floyds, hooked us up with some tickets, and so we went there. Of course, it was cold, and so we want to start from the beginning. We layered up.
Okay,
let's just say that.
Good.
Under Armour did its proud, University of Maryland, Baltimore, you know, so we did great. With the Under Armour.
Good.
Really appreciate
protect
it.
Protect this house. Yeah.
Exactly. We had to protect this house. And so layered up. And so the wind and the cold didn't mean anything to us. We were fine. But driving in, it's interesting. Every single time my wife and I have gone to a game at FedEx Field, we've never been stuck in traffic. There's never been bad traffic. And we live in Silver Spring. So we jumped on the Beltway right around New Hampshire Avenue exit. Headed down towards exit 16 because we went lot F green and we literally got there in about 35 minutes. I mean, with no, and so the game time was 8:30. We left the house around 6:15 and we got there at about 6:45, 6:50. And this happens every time. This is the only time that we went to a primetime game. Now during the Sunday morning games, we'll leave it for 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll leave the house around 10:45, 11 o'clock, and we never get in the traffic. It never happens to us. I don't know why. But the funny thing is that when we're not going to the games and there's a game and we're going on the Beltway to go somewhere else, there's always traffic.
Always traffic.
Like we're stuck in it. And it's like, that's that game traffic. But it's like, well, why is it that when we're going to the game, we're never in game traffic?
So the tickets didn't come with a special police escort?
No, surprisingly not. And I have to talk to my good friends, the Floyds, about that the next time. The next time we get these tickets, you got to know how we roll.
Gotcha,
you know,
gotcha.
Need the police escort. But there was no traffic. And I found that very, very. Now, here's the thing, though. Like, do we get there too? Or, I mean, when we get, obviously, there's tons of people who go to the game. But when we get there, you know, sure, there's people out tailgating and stuff. Maybe we're getting there too early. I mean, is it a lot of traffic maybe an hour away from the game? Because we try to get there 2 hours before the game or 2.5 hours or something like that. Because we like to sit outside, listen to the pregame show and watch stuff on, you know, tablets. Just kind of hang out, eat.
Right,
you know.
Right, exactly.
So maybe we get there without any issues with traffic because we get there too early. So I don't know. Maybe someone wants to tweet the show at FFRep or email email us, you know, what's your experience? Like, if you get there, obviously, 30 minutes before the game, maybe that's when you're stuck in traffic. But we never get any traffic. So, anyway.
Yeah, I usually, when I go out there, I usually get out there maybe about an hour and a half before kickoff. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what lot you got, but I was in the commoner's lot, right? You know, the last time I went to a game, there was a guy, like, you know, he was using the porta potty, which wouldn't be unusual, except there was no porta potty there.
Quite an experience.
Yeah, yeah. That's the first thing you see when you get out the car, right?
You know? Oh, so,
obviously, I wasn't in the lot that you were in.
No. You weren't in lot F. And so anyway, so we're no traffic. We're driving up. We get to lot F. We pull in. You know, folks are tailgating, playing. You know, doing the cornhole toss, throwing football around, right. Dancing, barbecuing. We found a spot. You know, literally within 30 seconds, you know, we drove in, looked down a couple of the aisles, said, oh, they have a little spot. So we pull up. We pulled up, and there were these Packer fans in a pickup truck. You know how they got the double spaces, one in front, one. They were in the front space. So we pull in, because they weren't using a lot of our space. And plus, right. There was two big trucks beside us. So we figured our car would fit there and it wouldn't be in the way. So anyway, we start to pull in. They look over and you know, they're waving. They're like, yeah, come on, pull up. You know, like as if they're gauging. How close to, right. Like, my eyes don't work. I know how close we are to your truck. So anyway, he's like, but he's being nice. And so he's gotten us on in and stuff like that. And so we pull in there. And so we're parked next behind some, you know, nice, fun-loving Packer fans. And so they're grilling and having fun. Folks beside us, they're Skins fans. They're grilling and having fun. This guy does something weird. It's super cold out. And he, like, takes off his shirt. So he takes his shirt off.
What?
And then he's, like, standing there like, what in the world is he doing? And so then he starts to put on these layers and put stuff back on. But it's like, why aren't these layers on you before you get really. Outside, why would you not have them on when you're going to?
Why is this acceptable public behavior?
Exactly.
I don't understand.
But then the guy, there's a Redskin fan parked next to us, and then he gets out of his car, he takes his shirt off, and then he starts to layer up. I was like, why aren't these people putting their clothes on at home? Like, when does this happen? I was in the car, and I didn't even have my coat on because I had so many layers on, and we were in the car, and so I didn't need the coat on then. So once we got outside, I put the coat on.
Right.
But I didn't get outside and then start putting my clothes on. So I'm like, why are people putting their clothes on?
I don't understand it.
So anyway, so the Packers fans leave. They go to walk in. The other guys leave. And then someone who was parked next to the Packers fan truck started looking in their truck with a flashlight, some lady. And I don't know why she was doing that, but then she left. And so but she was standing next to them with some guy she was with the whole time, and they were talking and stuff, and then she looks in their truck. And I was like, I thought that was kind of odd, but ain't my business. So anyway, so we leave the car. We're headed out. And I'm just looking around at all this green and gold, and I'm like, there's so many Packer fans here. Surely I'll see more burgundy and gold when I walk inside, right? And so we're walking up the sidewalk there. Lots of people. Everybody's happy. Everybody's having a good time. It's super cold and windy. And this lady in front, two women in front of us, one of them has a cheese head on. She's one of the green and gold jerseys I'm talking about. And the cheese head blows off her head right before my feet, right at me. So here's a multiple choice question. What do you do? You know, do you step on it and keep walking? Do you pick it up and rip it up? Like, who did that? Was it Josh Norman who did it on the sidelines? The cheese head blew on the field and he picked it up. Do I pick it up and rip it up, or do I hand it back to her like a nice citizen of this world, and we all are get along great?
So after you stomped on it, what happened then?
I picked it up and I gave it right back to her. Said, "Here's your cheese head." And so I gave it to her, and she said, "Oh, thank you so much." And then so she put it back on, and then it blew back off. And she just held it in her hand the rest of the time. Right. So we're walking up, and everybody's having a good time. People are tailgating, and we noticed that. Speaking of porta potties, just a lot of porta potties lined up.
Yeah.
So I understand that the gates probably don't open until a certain amount of time, so people may be out there hours and hours before game time. But there were guys waiting long lines to use the porta potties. And it was literally less than an hour before kickoff. I'm like, why won't you just go inside? Because at this point, it's dark outside. And these porta potties didn't have lights in them.
Oh, man.
They were dark. And so I'm like, why are you waiting in this line to use a porta potty when the gates are open? Go inside and use the bathrooms indoors. Right. Like, that just makes more sense.
Like civilized
because
people.
Even if the indoor situation isn't the most clean, it's a controlled environment with light and with out the wind blowing and just not a lot of foolishness going on, and you can, through paper towels and water, you can make it more sanitary. Let's put it that way. You can handle it better. You know what I mean?
Right.
Why are you standing in line when the gate's open? So anyway, that just kind of blew my mind. So we go in there. We're not waiting in long lines of tickets or whatever. We get down to our seats. I mean, we're in the end zone and like row one, like right before like the special seats. And so we were like really, really close. And so we're cool. sitting down, having a ball. And then we walk around a little bit. The lines were long for hot chocolate. I'll just say that.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
The lines were super long for hot chocolate. So we're walking around, having fun. We get back to our seats and the game starts. And I'm telling you, I heard a loud like cheer walking down after our first little walk around or whatever. When we're walking back down to the seats, we hear this loud cheer, look up to see what's happening, and it's the Packers running onto the field. And the Packer fans all over the place.
There wasn't a cheer because of the Federal Football Report. You know, one
that's
of the
what I thought.
Because
I started to do the whole thing. Oh, please, guys, don't. No, thank
okay,
you. Thank
all
you.
Right,
I was
all
doing
right.
the whole and then I realized they weren't even cheering for me.
Oh,
they
okay. Were, oh, man. See, that's an outrage.
This is a Packer.
It's a miscarriage of justice.
Hey, you look at all these fans. It's the Packers. I'm like, what is Packer
let's
fans?
Let's talk about that for a second. Now, I'm figuring that is the holidays are coming up, and a lot of people didn't really expect this team to be in the thick of it. So they may have gone on StubHub early in the year mm-hmm. and saw that there were some Packers tickets available, and it probably sold them for a little bit of a profit, right? Or, you know, the economy, whatever, you know, that you know, they figured they'd get a little spending change. But let me tell you, fans, it's time to stop that now. Now, let's cut it out now. You know, are you going to be a fan or are you a capitalist, right? You know, but we don't need you. Just sell your season tickets, right? You know, invest, you know, get your mutual fun or something, but don't pretend to be a football fan or especially a burgundy and gold fan. If you're gonna sell your ticket, or if you sell it, make sure the person has like burgundy and gold truck and have the flags that you see. You know, just don't sell them to anybody. The Packer fans, what are you doing? The person, your grandfather, the one who got those season tickets. What right. if he knew you was doing that?
He'd be so upset.
He was like, yeah, so cut it out. Okay, man, I'm sorry.
So anyway, yeah, but you're right. I mean, there were several pivotal moments in the second quarter and in the third quarter when the game wasn't out of hand yet, where on pivotal third downs, you could hear the Packer fans saying, go, Pack, go.
What?
Go. I mean, in FedEx Field, and you're like, wait a minute, what? And there were faint boo, like people trying to boo the Packer, but they couldn't out-scream the Packer fans. They
were
screaming,
crazy.
Go, Pack, go, and that was nuts. And so, yeah, that was kind of odd and funny. Another thing that was kind of odd, you know, big clap and applause and pat on the back to the cheerleaders, man. To the cheerleaders. I mean, these ladies were out there in, what, 25, 28 degree weather, wind chill, making it feel like it's 15 to 16. I could be exaggerating a little bit, but it was super cold.
I had
on layers, and,
right.
I, and my hands were getting a little cold.
Right.
And I don't know how they were doing it. But these young ladies had on, you know, their army t-shirts.
Right.
Clearly, they had some kind of like warm gear under it, and I'm pretty sure it's better than the warm gear, the Under Armour cold gear you may buy at like Marshalls or the Under Armour
right.
store.
Right.
I'm pretty
right.
sure it's got some different kind of technology that makes it warmer. But all they had on was like these Redskins support the military long sleeve t-shirts, Under Armour shirts seemingly under that, and like some like leather leggings or something.
Yeah.
And they were out there the whole first half.
Now, you know, your typical Under Armour isn't really designed thermally. It's designed so if you're exerting yourself and start to perspire, it will draw it away from your body and prevent that extra chill, that wind chill.
Right.
As far as keeping you warm, no, man, you get you some long johns.
Right.
And cheerleaders don't look the same in long johns. I noticed that. it's not the same thing, right? Yeah, I feel for you. I feel.
And
yeah,
I mean, they're out there and just cheering and smiling and doing their thing. I mean, and I don't care how many layers or whether you got good cold gear technology on your body, the wind is blowing in your face. You know what I mean? And on your hands. And sure, I had gloves and the pom-poms, but it's like there's only so much that can do when you're out there for an hour and a
Man.
Half, two
Ooh.
Hours. And so big applause to them, by the way. And then they came right back out in the second half, pretty much the same thing, but they had nice, like, white Redskin bubble coats on.
Okay.
So that was a little better for him. But man, I was like, good night. You know, these women were out there and the wind blowing in the face. And by the way, I didn't know this. They announced one of the Redskins cheerleaders. So I think every team gets one cheerleader that goes to the Pro Bowl to represent the team.
Yeah, I didn't know that.
I didn't know that either. And so some lady who was a fifth year veteran, she won and she was wearing the Pro Bowl sash proud last night. And she was surprised that she won. They did the whole little ceremony thing at one of the TV breaks and she was in tears. So it's a big deal, I guess, right?
It would have been a bigger deal if the Pro Bowl was still in Hawaii, but the Pro Bowl's in Orlando now.
You get to go to
Where
Disney
she
World.
That out?
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to Hawaii. I go, no, ticket to Orlando, Florida. Beautiful
yeah.
city, but you know, love Orlando. There's nothing wrong with Orlando.
Not a thing.
It's
I
just not
it.
Hawaii.
No, it's,
okay.
no, it's not.
So it's Orlando, and that's fine, but it's not Hawaii. So yeah, so that I didn't know that. So that was kind of cool, right? And so we see that. Then there was a moment in the game, and here's the thing. I love it because there were so many. Look, there were, there, of course, you saw, you know, Cowboy fans. They were there wearing the Cowboy hat.
They had nothing else to do. All right.
If you could see Kevin's face.
They had nothing else to do. If you could see the stain on the radio, that's what it would look like. This right here.
You're walking down and you're trying to go grab you, you know, a hot dog or something. And then you see this guy with a blue Cowboys hat on just standing there in line with his money in his hand. He's like, what are you doing?
What?
Like, your team's not playing here.
Really?
I saw Cowboy fans. I saw several Cowboy fans with their Cowboy stuff on. Then I saw a couple of Giant fans with their Giant stuff on. And it's like,
what? Was Rodney out there? Did you see Rodney?
Right. It wasn't Rodney.
Rodney was at you. Then saw.
And we're like, what? Why are your team's not even playing here today? Like, why are you here instigating this? You know what I mean? And it's one thing to be a Giants fan or a Cowboys fan. You come to the game and you kind of taunt a little bit. But you're wearing your team colors and you got all this stuff. Yeah. Just foolishness. And so you saw a whole lot of that, too. And so that was kind of foolish. And so, but then there was this one situation where myself and some other great citizens of this country had to step in and almost become security guards here for a second. There was two guys. Everyone in the section was kind of having fun, right?
Right.
And one guy sitting behind us was a Packers fan, and you know, he and I were talking, and he was kind of having fun with big plays and stuff like that. And then there was another guy beside him who was his buddy, who was a Redskin fan. And we're all just having fun, and a couple beside us, you know, we're all, you know, just having fun. And so some other guy who was a Packer fan, I think he knew the other guy, came and sat down in the third quarter next to the other guy, because whoever was sitting in that seat wasn't there, and it was clear that they weren't going to be there. No one in the section had a problem with that.
Right.
No, none of us had a problem with that. But then something happened. I don't even know what it was. But all of a sudden, he turns around and just starts, like, cursing and going off on the lady behind him. And we're all sitting there like, whoa, dude, what are you doing? Yeah. So I I'm not a reflectively violent person.
Right,
you know,
right,
I don't go looking for fights to get into.
Oh,
you know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah.
You ever hear the old Irish jokes? An Irishman is walking down the street and he sees a fight outside a bar. He says, hey, is this a private fight or can anybody join? Yeah. So yeah, no, I'm not that.
That's not me.
I'm not looking for the fight.
Right, you know
what I mean? I wasn't asking any questions when the lady was looking inside that man's truck. I don't look like I was. If she would have broke in, I probably would have tried to stop her. But anyway, so I reflectively kind of get up and turn around. I'm like, wait, dude, what are you doing? And his friend's like, yo, you need to stop being disrespectful. Stop, you know. And so we're all just kind of like, and so then the security guy comes up and he's like, hey, man, let me see your ticket because you weren't even here before.
Right,
and he probably
right.
would have let him sit there if he wouldn't have caused that. So he sits there. And he looks at his, no, you got to go back to your seat. So he gets up, and on his way up, people are pushing him and stuff like that as he's trying to walk back to his seat because he's being a jerk, right? And then this older guy, I mean, you ever see the sitcom Martin?
Right.
And the security guard.
The old security guy. Yeah,
how he's like, you still talking about the young boy? He said, and so this old guy just starts saying, you know, I dare you say something to me like that. He said, and so the guy stops. The old man just gets up and gets in his face. And this guy's about to like just start going in on him 1960 style, like, you know what I mean? Superfly stuff. And so we're all bracing for something to happen. So I don't know what, it was kind of weird. So me and the other three guys, we're walking up to there like, I don't know, like we're the gang going to do something. I don't know why we did that. I wouldn't recommend anyone do that.
It was
a justice situation.
Did this come with the extra money you paid for the tickets? I mean, was
right.
it the floor show? Is that part of the like the lower bowl experience?
It was
right?
just weird. You and know. So anyway, security came and kind of escorted them out. And then people, again, started pushing them and blowing them and stuff.
Now,
like
see,
that,
my so. Game time experience is a little bit different. And you know, thank God for the prosperity of this country. Like, my wife has a coworker who is a diehard Dallas Cowboys fan.
Sweet.
They're from Texas.
Mm-hmm.
So the only way they get to see the Cowboys is once a year.
Mm-hmm.
To see the Cowboys, that once a year, that one time a year, they buy season tickets. They sell all the rest of the tickets.
No.
And they go see the Cowboys. Some people got it like that.
Yeah.
You know, the show stays on another year longer. We'll have it like
Capitalism.
That. Now, this is a club seat now, which is an experience. You can sit inside or outside, right? You know. But my wife is a big fan. She likes the yelling and cheering.
So
and,
does mine. She's actually yelling and stuff, even if she's not in the game.
Right. Exactly.
Home.
Exactly. So
about non-game related
right.
stuff. But anyway.
So I go to the man cave. Oh, yeah, right. But I didn't say that. Claude said it. I didn't say it. But the people up there, they're so sterile, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, because my wife and my daughter are getting into it, yelling, and they turn around and looking
like,
at
can you please be quiet while we enjoy this game?
But they know they better not say anything,
say
right? you know, because they know how much these seats cost, right? You know?
Yeah.
So that's what I'm saying. This whole generation, the generation that sells their tickets or goes to the game for some type of social activity, this is a football
my
game.
My wife pointed out something interesting, like early in the game, like right in the first drive. You know, we're upstanding and people are cheering. And then I hear this lady, excuse me, we turn around like, we can't see. Do you guys mind sitting down? And so some people in the section sit down like, yeah, this gate. So we sit. That was the same young lady that the man was yelling at.
Oh, that's
and
probably
so
what she said to him.
Poetic justice.
Hey, wait a minute.
You mind sitting down?
We might be defending the wrong person. He might have been right.
Maybe we should have been pushing her around instead of pushing him around.
Yeah. What do people think, man? What do they think? What, you all listening? What do you think?
You're at a football game, and you're a Redskin fan. It's a Packer game. You're 5-3-1. Thanksgiving coming up. What a great way. It's a Sunday night game. Great way to kick off a holiday week. You know, we're standing up and cheering. It's the first drive. It's not like it's like the middle of the second quarter and nothing's happening. Like, we're in this thing. You know what I mean?
But
and then all of a sudden,
that's crazy.
Excuse me. Could you sit down?
I can't like, see it. I can't see it. I said, no. I'll put you up on my shoulders or something.
Like,
no.
You want to switch seats? Like, we'll sit back here. Because I'm standing up. She was literally like three rows behind. It's like, lady.
All you're doing
is looking at the scoreboard anyway watch the video feed. You can see that with me standing up.
That's crazy.
Yeah, so anyway, but yeah, it was a fun experience. We stayed to the end. It was emptying out once it was clear the game was out of hand. We stayed to the end. It was probably about 10 to 15 minutes. In the parking lot trying to move out. But once we got out, we were out.
So nobody like scored a touchdown, did the Landover leap, jump into the stands?
Also, when Pierre Garçon scored his, he came over and was like dapping up a lot of the guys. We were in the front row, but there's a whole nother, special section in front of us. So we couldn't, reach down there. But he came up and, dapped some fans up. Rob Kelly did a little two-step, which was kind of cool. And Jameson Crowder spiked the ball and it went all the way up in the stands. So, yeah, that was kind of cool, man. So yeah, that was tons of fun, and so that was a stadium experience.
Sounds like an experience.
It was really fun. We had a good time, and I love going to the games. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. The Redskins improved to 6-3-1, 4-2 at home after a 42-24 win over the Green Bay Packers. The Packers, by the way, 4-6. 4-6 on the season.
Yeah.
Feel bad for him. Sorry for you. Anyway, coming back on the next side of the break, we're going to talk about a big Thanksgiving showdown with Dallas in Dallas and the Redskins owe them one from earlier this year. This is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.
Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
It is the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM. The website is federalnewsradio.com. I'm Claude Jennings. He's Kevin Stanfield. The question is, how you like me now? Everybody's asking that question. How you like me now? Kurt wants to know. I want to know.
How you like me now?
Kevin wants to know. How you like us now? You know what I mean? How you like me now? Kirk Cousins is going to get that money at the end of the year. What do you think about that, Kevin?
You know what? It's
he's
so going to
be the highest paid quarterback in the league.
It's so strange because it's like it's almost like Jerry Maguire-ish, right? When it went through that whole thing where he sees the GM and rubs his fingers together. Yeah. He's like, you'll pay me. The GM says, I know. But I will say this, though, as much as he's impressed me and he's grown me and showed maturity and all that, I think he's a little bit out of line.
To just be on his face. How you like me
now? I think he's a little bit out of line that, right? And unless, I don't know the relationship. Maybe he yells at him all the time, right?
He yells at him all the time.
Which might be another reason why he's not getting paid.
Yeah.
You got to stop yelling at the GM before you get paid. But, like I said, if it had been Deshaun, we'd still be trying to bail Deshaun out right about now. Yeah. It'd be another cultural example.
Well, speaking of Deshaun Jackson, who knows whether they'll bring him or Pierre Garçon back, but it seems like Kirk Cousins hedged a pretty wealthy bet on himself. By the way, he made $20 million this year.
Cry for me, Argentina.
That's a pretty good check, by the way.
Yeah, but still, that thing
he
was
possibly,
a little bit.
Yeah, he possibly could be the highest paid quarterback in the league next year.
You know, because could Kirk be that much unaware of that, out of control, that he didn't realize the cameras was there and he was on national TV?
Maybe it was all part of his plan.
It could be some of his devious, like Boris Bettinov type plan, right? You know, I just think it was funny. It gave us a lot of material, but I think Kurt was stepping dangerously close to a line that shouldn't be crossed, right? It's got to be something that was borderline disrespectful.
Yeah,
you know?
and the GM looked like, what are you doing? Like, wait, what's going on here? You know, it seemed a little uncomfortable with the whole situation.
Then again, maybe that's the relationship of a pro athlete and the GM, right? It's a different type of thing. And the emotion when you're on the field doing battle with those guys, like I said, you know, 300, headed to a 400 pounds, moving at 4.3 speed. A lot of things going on, but if Kurt had, it's interesting though. I try to get that audio for the little mix. There's a lot of places you can't get that. They'll
out of here, really.
But it won't have the sound.
Get out of here.
Kubo D probably has something to do with it. Kurt, you get paid. I want to get paid too, Kurt. Yeah. That's
very
amazing.
Interesting. So the Skins win 42-24 to set up a big showdown this Thursday against the Dallas Cowboys. Thanksgiving afternoon, the Cowboys 9-1. The Cowboys, by the way, taking care of business against the Baltimore Ravens. And really, what was a grind them out. style kind of game. I'm not sure if you saw it, Kevin, but it's what we've been seeing from Dallas the last couple of weeks, even with the Green Bay game and definitely with the Philadelphia game, where it's kind of a sloppy first half, yeah, and then they kind of get it together in the second half, and not needing overtime the way they needed it with Philadelphia, and not coming down to the wire the way it did with Pittsburgh, but the defense was able to hold off Baltimore in the fourth quarter, and they get a 10-point win, 27-24. The Ravens, by the way, 5-5. Here's what's so interesting. I was talking to a Cowboys fan, a friend of mine who's a Cowboys fan, and he was saying that all his life, Redskins fans have been the most annoying. You know what I mean? He said even when he's had periods where he's hated the Eagles the most, hated the Giants the most, couldn't really care less about the Redskins, it was just the fans that he, you know, that the fans have been the most irritating to him as a Cowboys fan, right? And as of this week, he said he thinks he's ready to put the Ravens fan in that fans in that category. And it was interesting because I was checking out social media, or his social media was showing me, and he was like, look at all the trash talk from Ravens fans last week during the Steelers game about the Cowboys. And look at all the trash talk during the game, and then even after the game. And he's like, the Ravens fans act like they're 9-0 or 10-0 or 9-1. He said they're 5-5, and it's clear that this team is not a good team.
Right,
that was
right.
Clear when the Redskins played the Ravens. They're not a good team. They have, I don't know where they think offensive productivity is going to come from, and the defense is all right. But you know, when you can't score, they don't have the type of defense they had years ago where they could just win based off of their defense. All they need to do is kick 3 field goals, and Ray Lewis and the boys are going to hold everybody else down. That's not what they have. And so anyway, the Cowboys beat the Ravens 27-17. Dak Prescott continues to impress, getting even better. I mean, for a stretch there, he didn't have many passing touchdowns in the beginning of the year. Yesterday, 27-36, 301 yards, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. He continues to protect the ball. Zeke passed Tony Dorsett for Cowboys rookie rushing record, 25 carries, 97 yards.
Yeah, it's pitiful.
Dez Bryant finding his groove, 6 catches, worse. 80 yards, 2 touchdowns. So.
Now, you know, like, wait. You know, like, I go way back with the Burgundy and Gold, mm-hmm. right? You know, this rivalry. I was there when the rivalry started, right? You know, right. I was there when George Allen said, we just got to beat the Cowboys. Right. George Allen made a speech one day and said, I wish I could just get Tom Landry, we get in the middle of RAK, and we just fight. Man on man, right? You know, and that's what this rivalry was, right? So, you know, the way I looked at Dak Prescott when I first saw him play in the preseason, I said, right. Where did he get this from? Because right? We remember all the quarterbacks from last year, the Wheatons, yeah. and the whatever else.
And
they
even
had.
Wanted to go further back and take a look at Quincy Carter, long line of great tradition.
They stumbled.
Matt Castle, Brandon Wheaton,
Ryan Leaf,
Kellen Moore.
Yeah, they stumbled into Tony Romo, right? You know,
right.
But you look at Dak Prescott, and we said they got something here. But let me tell you why I don't like this young man.
Okay.
The game was in hand.
Mm-hmm.
The defense was on the field. Dak was sitting on the bench drinking a cup of Gatorade.
I saw this. So great.
Dak took the cup, threw it at the trash can.
Uh-huh.
Missed the trash can.
Uh-huh.
Was going to sit there. Thought about it.
Multiple choice. What did he do?
He stepped
on the cheese. Somebody else to get it? Did he ask somebody else to get it? Did he ask Tony Romo to get it?
Yeah, right. Did he ignore it? The young man got up, went and picked up the paper cup and threw it in the trash.
Immediately. Like, he didn't wait. He saw it and going, and just immediately got up.
I hate this dude, man. He's so good.
He's such a great person.
He's
so good. I hate him.
I got to hate him for something, right? You know, I just, you know, why he got to go to Dallas?
Yeah, exactly. You know? Why does he have to go to Dallas? So Dax continued to grow. Another thing I'd be interested about Dax is all these kind of side stories, you know, with this team. Like, my wife brought up one. She was just wondering. She says, why does Zeke always have to wear these crop tops? Like, why does he always have to crop his jersey under his shoulder pads and just, like, show his stomach? Like, why does he do that with everything? If you remember in the draft, he came to the draft like that. Crop top, like, tuxedo. And the next thing you know, before every game, he's just got his stomach out and he's got his jersey. Like, what is he doing? Why did he do that?
Remember when Jersey Shore first started? That was the situation thing. Like, put it on his stomach. This is the situation, right? Maybe that's the situation with Zeke, right?
Goodness gracious.
Yeah. And this is going to be something.
Well, you know, when you're running like that, you know, you can do whatever you want to do.
And you know what the Ravens would do? You know, they knew that they were going to run the ball and eat up the clock. They had nine in the box, and they were hitting them, right?
Yeah.
They were hitting them. And another one of my favorite things about, and I hate giving these guys compliments because they're Cowboys, but there was one play where they had eight in the box, and he bounced it outside, and he broke a tackle and ran, and to avoid a big hit, he stepped out of bounds.
Uh-huh.
And he was so mad at himself.
Yeah.
You know, and the game was in hand. It wasn't like it was a close game. He was beating himself in the head.
Because he wanted to stay in bounds and keep the clock
right
running.
Before,
has any team had more issues with clock management than Dallas this year? Even like the first one with the Giants ended up in a loss. Like, right. Even when you're winning, you're mismanaging the clock.
Yeah.
Stay in bounds.
And these are rookies. These are rookies leading a ship that was floundering last year, right? You know, and these are rookies.
Here's what's amazing. This team won one game without Romo last year.
Yeah, how about that?
Was 4-12, but only one game. Romo won three. One game without Romo, and that was because DeSean Jackson, you know, made a bad decision on a punt return,
and then
he fumbled. Right, trying hard. Right, and so it wasn't as if, you know, Matt Castle willed them to victory that game. No, all he did was not fumble in the last minute so they can kick a field goal and get out of there with a win. That's all he did. They only won one game without Romo last year. They're 9-1 without him this year with a rookie quarterback who, by the way, may not have seen the field if Kellen Moore didn't hurt break his leg the week before or 2 weeks before Romo got hurt, because Kellen Moore got hurt first and then Dak was able to get into those preseason games and then Romo got hurt. And so Kellen Moore might not have won any games up until this point if Kellen Moore was playing quarterback. I have no reason to believe Kellen Moore would have won a game as the Cowboys quarterback this year.
All I know is it was the third preseason game. I looked at Dak's stats and at one point he had more touchdown passes than he had incompletions. That's a scary thing.
That's pretty efficient.
This is going to be a great game. This is going to be, well, the 2012 game, the RG3's national debut. Mm-hmm. That was a great game for Burgundy and Gold fans, right? You know, that
totally
was,
destroyed Dallas.
Right. Because Dallas was and fittingly, the season ended with the Sunday night game that they flexed because the winner of that game won the division,
Yep.
You know, so this is good for the NFL. This when the rivalry was down, it's just another game.
Yeah.
They tried to pump it up. They would show film of old games, but this is
just wasn't the same when both teams are 2-8.
The league needs this. The league really needs this because Quiet is kept. The league is at it's at a downturn. The ratings are down, and football, the quality of play is just not what it's been in years past.
Yeah. The league's kind of suffering this year, by its own standards, by the own standards that it has set for itself,
right?
Which is great by any other means, but for itself, it has. And so, coming up, you know that you're going to have to stop the run against this team. And that's not necessarily the Skins' strong point, but it's one thing that you're going to have to do. And this team and the Cowboys showed last week and the week before against the Steelers, they don't care if you pack the box. They're going to stick to their game plan to try to run the ball.
Yeah.
Dak has shown that he can make the plays. And one of the pivotal drives in the Cowboys game was that last drive when the Ravens scored to make the score 24-17, and there was maybe 5 minutes left in the game, or maybe eight minutes left in the game, and Dak took them down the field. They wasted maybe 6 to 7 minutes of that time and kicked a field goal and left the Ravens no time to do anything and down 10 points.
Yeah.
That shows they turned the corner, that the young quarterback turned the corner. He knows what it takes to win. Number one, the comeback win against Pittsburgh with less than a minute, after they do the fake spike and then score a touchdown, shows the poise and the commitment to, hey, the game's not over just yet, the overtime victory against Philadelphia, and then this last-minute drive to kind of ice the game, he's a rookie, but the boy seems to know what he's doing. And Pittsburgh threw some pretty big blitz, some pretty good blitzing schemes at him. Same thing with the Ravens. The Ravens' defense, again, pretty good, but not good enough to overcome their offensive inefficiencies. And
do you think he's good enough, though? I mean, to avoid Kerrigan coming off the edge now, and Preston Smith coming, and Big Swaggy in the middle. I'm assuming the matchup is going to be Josh Norman and Dez Bryant.
He's going to travel with him. He has his passport ready.
Or will they do that? Will they put him on, maybe put him on
Beasley,
someone who
targets a lot more
it's
going to be an interesting matchup, but you got to stop the run. You're going to have to try to put some pressure on Dak. And, again, this is a matchup where I don't don't think you're going to be able to out-scheme the other team. Neither team is going to be able to out-scheme the other one. You're going to have to outplay the other team. That's basically what it is. I mean, when you look at the first game, Dallas won, but they I don't think they outplayed the Redskins. They just did not make the mistakes the Redskins made. Yes, like, Kurt overthrew and missed a lot of passes. Two in particular that would have been touchdown passes he missed. And so he makes those. You could be looking at a different game. You can't do that this game. You know what I mean? Because one thing it seems like Dak Prescott is definitely going to do as a Cowboys quarterback, he's not going to make costly mistakes, you
right,
know,
right.
By way of interception. You know, you can come up blindside and maybe strip the ball or something like that, but he's not going to make costly mistakes as far as interceptions. They don't seem to have turnover issues as an offense. And so you're going to have to just outplay. This is just a man-up situation. Defensive line's going to have to man up against one of the better offensive lines in the league. Their defense is vulnerable. They're missing two starters in their secondary. A secondary that's already kind of weak. They're missing Maurice Claiborne,
right.
And they're missing Barry Church. Barry Church is the guy who had that end zone interception against Kurt in the first game. Like, so you're missing some key components in that secondary, and I think the Redskins have weapons at receiver to where they can exploit some of that.
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think they have anything at linebacker that can stand up against a Jordan Reed. And like you said, and Dallas has been vulnerable mm-hmm. against the run.
Absolutely.
I mean, Pittsburgh had a good running game against, and Antonio Brown caught over 100 yards, mm-hmm. you know, in passes. So they can be had. They
yes.
can be had.
Yes, they can.
I'm looking for the shootout that the NFL wants. You know, the NFL wants probably 38-35.
Right.
I'll settle for 10-3. What's up?
A win is a win.
That's right.
And a show is a show. How you like me now? This is the Federal Football Report.
I could only rock rhyme and only rock crowds, but never rock records.
How you like me now? How you like me now? How you like me now?